Well, it's a pleasure to see so many of you here. I'm going to take over from some of the things that Sophie said and actually lead you into some of the things that I think Michaela is going to say afterwards. And I'm going to talk about this general phenomenon of amyloid formation and how it relates to human disease. And we've heard about protein folding. If you look at a cell, this happens to be a bacterial cell, it could be any type of cell, molecules are packed together extraordinarily closely so that information can be transferred rapidly by molecular diffusion. And the surfaces of these molecules are exquisitely designed so they can remain functional, even in this crowded environment. And the folding and self-assembly of proteins is absolutely essential. The correct folding of all our proteins, 100,000 of them or so, has to be exactly right in order for life to function. So what happens if you get protein misfolding? Well, a number of things can happen, but one of the most straightforward things that can happen is that proteins are not correctly designed on the surface. They're sticky, and they tend to clump together to form aggregates. And some of these aggregates have the name of amyloid. They're extremely aggressively formed, and they are very stable. And there are now about 50 diseases associated with amyloid formation, from Alzheimer's disease, the analogues of mad cow disease, type 2 diabetes, Parkinson's, Huntington's, and ALS. And one of the things that's very interesting about these diseases is that they weren't even known 100 years ago. Alzheimer's disease was described in 1906. 50 years ago, they were virtually unknown. Today, probably 5% of the world's population has one of these diseases. A third of you will get Alzheimer's disease if we don't do something about it. And it's because they're largely associated with aging. And so they're a very important class of incurable and largely untreatable diseases. And this has been our motivation to study these types of protein. So Alzheimer's is the best known of these. It's the most common form of dementia. And you can see the amyloid deposits here are formed in the brain. There are plaques, the famous Alzheimer plaques. There are also aggregates that form within cells. And they're not just forming non-functional proteins. They're actually toxic, and so they kill neurons. And you're familiar with the symptoms, I'm sure all of you, of Alzheimer's disease. What's really remarkable, if you look at these different types of disease, is that although they can have very different symptoms and they can be very different locations, some are in the brain, like Alzheimer's disease, some are in the pancreas, like type 2 diabetes. But when you look at the aggregates that form, they're very similar. They're typically a few nanometers in diameter. They can be microns in length, really remarkable thread-like structures that form in tissue. And they're pretty much the same whichever type of disease you look at, even though the proteins themselves are very different. And we've been studying the structures and properties and how they form for quite some time now. And the bottom line, if you like, the conclusion is that, again, very surprising, I think, is that we all know these beautiful structures of functional proteins. They depend on the exact sequence of the protein, how the side chains come together to force a particular conformation. And there's another state, this amyloid state, this thread-like state, where the main interaction between the main chain of the protein through the hydrogen bonding involving the main chain, and of course the main chain is essentially the same for all proteins, which is why they all look the same. So that's one thing which is interesting. There's the normal functional state and this aggregated state, also highly organized. What's also turned out to be very surprising is that we always imagined this was these proteins were the most stable under physiological conditions. It turns out that actually, thermodynamically, many of these proteins would rather be as aggregates. And so why didn't we turn solid immediately? And the answer is that this is very carefully regulated, particularly in biology, to protect these proteins and to prevent them forming into this state under normal circumstances. We therefore really wanted to find out why it is that this process occurs, how it occurs, and how we might actually do something about it so that a third of you don't end up with Alzheimer's disease. And I'm just going to summarize very quickly this in a schematic way. And actually, this was really work of Thomas Knowles, who's a professor in physical chemistry, who's been talking this morning. And it's quite a complex process. You start off with the primary nucleation process, where proteins that are misfolded tend to come together to form a sort of nucleus. And these fibrillar structures, these can then grow. Sometimes they actually shrink as well. And then when they start to grow, they can do secondary things, such as breaking or acting as catalysts for more aggregate formation, which then goes round in a sort of catalytic cycle. And we've been defining the mechanism of aggregation for the proteins involved in these diseases. And we've then been looking at how it is that living systems manage to regulate them. And actually, one of the things they do is they use chaperones that Sophie mentioned before, very exquisitely sensitively to look at a number of these processes and actually suppress them. And so we know how this process forms, we know which proteins form it, we know that a lot about the mechanism, and we know that there are protective mechanisms. And I think Michaela will say more about this, because what we've set out to do, knowing how biology controls these, is to see if we can actually find some molecules which we can use as potential additional controllers. And we're using high-throughput screening, you don't need to look at this, to identify novel compounds which will inhibit some of these specific steps in the aggregation process. The idea is, if we can inhibit those, we can actually reduce the probability of proteins aggregating. So our natural systems, which protect us, will go on for longer, because as you get older, they tend to get less efficient. But if we could help them, then we might get Alzheimer's at 120 rather than at 70, which would probably solve it for most of us for some time. And I just want to show you one example of this in a model organism, C. elegans. And here we've put into C. elegans a protein that's associated with Alzheimer's disease in humans. And these are very unhappy worms. You know, they're just, they're almost paralyzed and so on. But if we take one of these inhibitors that we've discovered, and the worms are in an environment in which they're present, then this, even at low concentration, this molecule, actually it's an anti-cancer drug, it could be repurposed potentially, these now show no symptoms at all of this paralysis we saw here. So this is fantastic news for demented worms. You know, we can cure them completely from this disease. But the hope is that we can do that with humans as well, and I think Michaela will talk about this, that we've now set up this Centre for Misfolding Diseases, which is going to be in the new Chemistry of Health building, which I think is now looks different in Michaela's diagram. This was an earlier picture, but the building is still going to be there. And my lab, Thomas Knowles, I mentioned, and Michaela really work incredibly closely together. And the idea is to continue our basic science in top two floors of this building, and then we have a floor which is actually going to be involved with finding ways of translating these into new drug molecules through startup companies. So I hope I've given you some sort of flavour, both about the types of, if you like, basic problems we're looking at, and also actually really by chance, in a sense, we've stumbled into an area where we think if we can actually succeed in this way, it could have a huge impact on human health. So thank you very much.